Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Father, may these things be so in our midst today. To the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine a young man joining a boxing club and going into training. His first fight, he wins with a knockout. The second, the same. The third, the fourth, similar, a knockout each time. The club see they've got quite a fighter on their hands, and eventually they put him up against the best fighter in the club, and he gets knocked out as well. The young man goes into the county championships, and he wins them again with knockouts each time. And eventually the country calls and he fights for his country, and again he wins by a knockout. And eventually it's a world championship. And when he beats the world champion by a knockout, he becomes the undisputed champion of the world. He really is quite a fighter. And boxing clubs, I'm sure, across the country would love to find such a young talent as that. Something we've seen already in this Gospel of Luke and here in chapter 4 is Jesus Christ going head to head with the devil. At the beginning of chapter 4, Christ delivers three knockout blows to the devil when he quotes scripture in the temptations. But the devil keeps coming back. He isn't finished, far from it. And here at the end of the chapter, in chapter 4, the man in the synagogue, this man who is the spirit of an unclean demon, he comes at Christ as well. He challenges Christ in front of all the people. And this is another bout, one of many more that will come throughout the gospel, but it's this one in particular that we're going to focus upon today. So I want to look at this section of scripture and just to talk with you about the man in question, about the master and how he handled the man, and also about the means that Jesus used. First of all, the man. And what can we say about him who, verse 33 says, had the spirit of an unclean demon? The Bible never denies that parallel to this world is a world of angels and demons, a supernatural world with considerable interchange between the two places. And so this unclean demon, and all demons are unclean, there's something filthy about the work of the devil. This unclean demon has invaded this poor man and is all over his life. He's unclean from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. But what's striking is that this man is not dwelling in some cave somewhere. You might think such a person would be out in a cave in the wilderness, but this man is found in the synagogue in Capernaum, the Jewish place of worship on the Sabbath day, where the Bible is being read, where the Psalms are being sung, where prayers are being made, and where sermons are being preached. The devil is right there. And what provokes him to shout out in a loud voice is the teaching of Jesus Christ, verse 32. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. That teaching carried with it God's authority. And Jesus Christ is the great teacher of God's word. And the devil is not going to let this go unchallenged. And so he comes at Christ. You see, when Christ came, when the Son of God took on flesh, it's like the demons came out onto the streets to oppose him. That's why as you read the Gospels, there are lots of demon encounters at the time of Christ, as the devil sends out wave after wave after wave of his troops to sabotage the mission of Christ. And this one is shouting loudly, attempting perhaps to shout Christ down. You know, we live in a world as well where people shout often and often try to shout others down. We live in a world that is angry. We live in a world where people are set against one another. And here Christ is opposed by this demon loudly and vocally and aggressively. And so often it's the people, is it not, who shout the loudest and they shout the longest that often win the day. And here is a man who is trying to shout down the word of God. Jesus says in verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I have been sent. But this demon, this devil, is out to stop the word of God, to prevent God's word being heard. And so he shouts at Christ, we're told at the end of verse 33, at the top of his voice. But it's what he shouts that is most interesting. Let me read it to you again in verse 34. He shouts, ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Notice how he called Christ Jesus of Nazareth, a very human title to give him. Jesus, the man who came from Nazareth. And yet he also calls him the Holy One of God, a divine title to give him. This demon has never been to Bible college, has never read a theology textbook, but he does understand that Jesus Christ is fully human and fully God at one and the same time. I would guess that the appearing of Jesus Christ was the talk of the underworld, that the Son of God had come into the world. Verse 40, 41, many of the people were shouting, possessed by demons, you are the Son of God. They knew who he was. And they shout out, why? What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? You see, there's no confusion in the demon world about the identity and the mission of Jesus Christ. The confusion is amongst human beings about the identity and the mission of Jesus Christ. It's human beings who say, we can't see it. It's human beings who say, we can't believe it. It's human beings who debate and dither over who was Jesus Christ and what was the purpose of his coming. But the demons know exactly who Jesus Christ was and know exactly what was the purpose of his coming. There's no confusion in hell. There are no thoughts, mixed up thoughts in hell. They know exactly who Jesus Christ is and exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. As it says in 1 John chapter 3, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And the devil's work is to confuse people. Ironically, he's not confused himself, but he wants to confuse people so that we don't know who Christ is and we don't know what our need is of being saved. But secondly, let me move on to talk about the master, because verse 35 says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. I don't know if you or I had been there at that service in the synagogue, how we would have reacted when that demon shouted at the top of his voice, or this man filled with the demon shouted at the top of his voice. What would we have done if someone's uncontrollably shouting in a church service? But Jesus knew exactly what to do, and he rebuked the man. Be silent, he said. There's a time to rebuke. There's a time to speak, to tell people to stop talking, to be quiet before the Lord. He does the same in verse 41. Again, this demon coming out of many people is shouting, you're the Son of God. But Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. You see, demons don't tell Christ what to do. He tells them what to do. Demons don't order Christ around. He orders them around. And so this demon is rebuked, he is silenced, and he is given a command to leave the man. But before he leaves, verse 35 says, when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. The demon throws him to the ground violently, overpowering the man. Let me just say to you that part of the work of the devil is to throw people into the gutter. Part of the work of the devil is to trash their lives, to do violence to them, to stop them walking as men and as women. The devil wants you crawling on the ground like a snake. Make no mistake about the works of the devil for you and for me, for the human race, that you and I would be in the gutter. And you know, that's something that concerns me, especially with Halloween just 3 days away. The ways in which Halloween is now being celebrated, in inverted commas, was that £72 million was spent in the UK last year on Halloween. It seems that everywhere you go, there are skeletons, there are skulls, there are tombstones, there are witches and wizards, there are vampire fangs, there are zombies, and there are knives covered in blood. It's not just shops and schools and offices, it's houses, this glorying in death and what's scary and what's evil and what's of the devil. Make no mistake about it, the devil wants to cast you to the ground. He wants you as a slave. He wants you in the gutter. And the danger of all of that stuff, I know some of it's harmless, but the danger of that stuff is that you open a door to a world that is dark and evil and destructive and ultimately deadly, and you started thinking it was a joke. No wonder God's word says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." But what gives me hope here is that when the devil cast this man to the ground, we're told that the demon came out of him having done him no harm. Having done him no harm. Yes, the devil may throw a man or woman to the ground, but now that Christ has come to him, there's a limit to the damage that can be done. Christ had him. Christ worked for him. And as opposed to the devil doing him bad, Christ does him good. Christ, you see, is not just master in name, but he is master in fact. As the little chorus goes, he is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is Wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. So we've seen the man, the master, thirdly, the means of casting out the demon. And it really is quite simple. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word?" For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Just a word. I guess the people were looking for signs and wonders. Like the Syrian army commander, Naaman, who had leprosy. And he went to the prophet Elisha and he asked to be cured of his leprosy. And the prophet didn't even go out the door to see him. He just sent a servant out and he said, "Go and tell him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And his flesh shall be restored and he shall be clean." And Naaman was angry. "How dare he not come out and speak to me? Have we not got better rivers in our country than washing in that Jordan River? Will he not come out and wave his hand and say something and heal me?" But no, he didn't come out and wave his hand. He just gave him a word. And that word worked when Naaman obeyed the word and he was cleansed when he bathed in the Jordan River 7 times. And so here in the synagogue in Capernaum, how do you drive out a demon? Do you have to do spells? Do you have to wave your hands in a certain way? Do you need incantations or magic or signs or wonders? No, all you need is a word. The word of God. "What is this word?" said the people. "For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." Martin Luther was the famous German monk used by God to spearhead the reforming of the Christian church in the 1500s and 1600s and beyond. We think, you know, Brexit is massive change. It's only an earth tremor in comparison to what happened in the 1500s and 1600s. Because back then, the monolithic church was blinded and bound by the devil. But as Martin Luther rediscovered the gospel, the whole church was reconfigured. As the light shone after darkness. And Luther, reflecting on it later in life, said this, "I did nothing. The word did everything. I did nothing. The word did everything." And that's what we might say here about the means Christ used to deliver this man from the unclean demon. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God, speaking the Word of God, and the Word does everything. It's more powerful than the demon's word. It orders the demon to submit. The Word of Christ delivers the man and sets him free. Let me finish this morning with one simple application of all that I have been saying, and it is this: Jesus Christ changes lives. Jesus Christ changes lives for the good by delivering them from the devil. He takes them out of chains and he sets them free. He takes what is unclean and he makes clean. He takes what is unholy and he makes holy. What is impure and he makes pure. Earlier in the chapter, he had promised that God has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Is this not the Lord's favor upon this man's life? A captive set free, a man oppressed, released, a man out of favor with God, now enjoying the smile of God upon his life. No wonder verse 37 says, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. You know, we are living today in a battlefield. I think sometimes we need reminded about that. And we are caught up in a war. For the whole world, says 1 John chapter 5, lies under the power of the evil one. The whole world. But into this world has come a challenger, Jesus Christ. And in bout after bout after bout, he defeated the devil until eventually on the cross of Calvary, he delivered the knockout blow. Because on the cross of Calvary, he disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And Christ's people are those he has released from the grip of the devil by the power of his blood. Those he has set free by his great mercy and kindness and generosity, they are the people of God. That is the Christ that is presented to us here in Scripture, the Christ who came into the world to set us free. Think of an animal caught by the paw in a cruel trap. What it needs is for someone to come along, and someone greater and stronger and wiser than it is, and to prise open the jaws of the trap and to release its paw. Christ came to prise open the jaws of the devil, to release his grip on your life and on my life. That's why verse 43 says this message is good news, but only to those who believe. Have you been set free? Have you been released by the power of God? Are you today still trapped, still in the grip of the devil? Because this man, think of the change that came over his life. Think of the difference that Christ made as he sprung him from the devil's grip. What a change for the good Christ brings to a life. And that's true for all who believe on him, for all who receive him as their Lord and as their Savior. Jesus said in verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he traveled out, not just in Capernaum, but across this whole area, preaching the good news. Today this word has come to this place, to Bendura, to Ballymoney. Have you believed it? And have you received Christ for your liberation from the devil's grip? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of Christ's word, releasing this man from the grip in which he was held. We thank you that he took that which was unclean and made it clean, that which was shackled and made him free. We thank you that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, and we're no longer to submit to a yoke of slavery. Father, we praise you today for the power of Christ. We praise you, Father, for the greatness of Christ, for the wisdom of Christ. But most of all, we praise you for the cross of Christ and how there, Lord God, he defeated the devil once and for all. And that, Father, in the cross we glory, towering over the wrecks of time. And, our Father, we thank you that that cross and Jesus raised from the dead is our hope today for freedom from the devil's power. Father, we worship you. We thank you for this word. Continue to drive it into our hearts, Lord God, that we might believe it more. In Jesus' name, amen.